It's coming up on 10 past 8. The Morning Show with Greg Berg is next. Support for the Morning Show comes from Carthage College, home of the Aspire program, and its multifaceted approach to career preparation. The new program is designed to cultivate leadership and entrepreneurial skills while empowering each Carthage student to shape a custom career development plan from their first days on campus. Learn more about the Aspire program at carthage.edu/aspire. And we welcome you to the Thursday Morning Show on WGTD. I'm Gregory Berg, and it's always a happy day on the morning show when we can connect with the boss, who normally is right across the hall from the radio studio, Dr. Brian Albrecht, the president of Gateway Technical College. These days, we don't see him very often in his office across the hall, and all of our connections during this time of COVID-19 have been via the wonders of Zoom. But even in this fashion, it's great to connect with him and to hear more about what's going on at Gateway Technical College. And we have a very special guest that we will have him introduce in just a moment. But first, President Brian Albrecht, we welcome you back to the morning show.
Thank you, Greg. Good morning. It's always a pleasure to be a part of the show. I do want to just give a big shout out to Mary and Kelly, who also work in our office, and I have not seen them now for about 4 months. So you're right. It is difficult to run these programs via Zoom, but it's important as well. We've got to stay safe. We've got to practice social distancing. And if we expect our students and our staff to do that, we're modeling that in our office as well.
Very good. So it's good that we can remain connected in all of these other ways. So it might be good for us to start with the start of this fall semester, and of course it's a fall semester being conducted under rather strange circumstances, although there are also circumstances that in a strange way are starting to feel like just kind of a new, albeit temporary, new normal. So explain to our listeners the circumstances under which this fall semester has gotten underway.
Yeah, I'd be happy to, Greg, and just to acknowledge the fact that I think all of our listeners today probably have had some change in their life as it relates to COVID-19 and the impacts that it's having on the way we work, the way we educate, the way we socialize, and certainly an impact on education. And we hear a lot in the news about K-12 education and the challenging times that we're facing trying to respect social distancing and make sure that we keep our children safe, which is the utmost important element, but also deliver a quality experience so that young people have an educational opportunity to continue to grow and to learn. And that can be difficult in these environments. And on the other hand, I know recently we've a lot of articles about the universities, and when you bring students back to a campus environment, especially if you have like housing, dormitories, and gatherings for meals and so on, and the outbreak of COVID-19 is causing some immediate responses by some of our university partners to now quarantine students. So they made all that effort to get them back on campus a couple of weeks ago, and now they're quarantining my campus. So we're right in the middle of that at Gateway, right? So we have students that are at high school age population taking our programs through dual enrollment. So we're monitoring all of the school districts and how do we adapt our programming to meet either a virtual high school or a hybrid partial high school experience and still give those students in that dual enrollment program a quality experience from Gateway. And then we have adults that are trying to manage their own lives with their, you know, maybe they're working at home, maybe now their children are at home, so they're balancing those schedules around work and learn in that cycle. But they want to continue their education so they can get the skills necessary for some of the jobs that are out there. And so we're trying to balance all of that. And on October 31st, so a week ago, a little over a week ago, we brought students back to campus in a variety of forms. Some of it's still online, and we've always had some strong online programming at Gateway. So that was just kind of ramp that up a little bit more, make more course sections available, bring more students online that way. And then we developed this hybrid model, which a portion of the coursework is delivered online, but a portion is back on campus. So as an example, a student might have their first week or two of orientation in an online format, but then come back to campus to experience a lab setting, chemistry lab, biology lab, anatomy lab, nursing lab, CNC, and so on. So those are important aspects of that hybrid. We can create smaller class sizes, create more unique access points for students, and still keep the environment safe. And then, of course, there are some programs, Greg, that are still face-to-face, and a lot of that is due to the accreditation requirements. So as an example, in order to receive your CDL truck driving license, you have to drive a truck, right? So we still have those students on campus. Or, you know, our law enforcement, I use that one as an example, that's governed by the Department of Justice. They set the content and standards, and those standards are face-to-face interactions. So that's an important one. Some accrediting bodies like nursing and surgical tech have made some modifications where you can use simulation technology. So our Human Patient Simulator Center, where WGTD is located, the Inspire Center, all those human robots downstairs, those are playing a big role now in helping students achieve their competencies and skills without actually touching a human, right? But they've limited some of the hours, so you still have to have the clinical site experience, but you can modify some of that with simulation. So we're trying to balance all of those different delivery models in a way that's going to help our students obtain their skills but keep them safe. So we've also had to make some big changes in our campus experience. As you come into any one of our facilities, you'll see a lot of signage that'll remind people to stay safe. We've, of course, set up different rotations of schedules so that we have some employees working from home, some employees working on campus, and we rotate them so that we give everybody a little bit of a break. We've got a lot more protocol in place for cleaning and fewer access points for students. So we limit the number of doors, and we no longer have a food service program on campus, and we hope that students will come in, get their educational experience, and then we're asking them to go back to home or to work, wherever they need to go. So it's a different environment, but it's one that I think everyone agrees that has to be put in place if we're going to be able to keep our students safe and continue with our semester. We had a terrific summer term where students were able to complete and graduate, and now we're starting our fall term, and we want to make it through this fall season, which is also a challenging time in general because of the cold and flu season. We're just trying to make sure that we can keep our progress going in the right direction in partnership with our school districts and our health departments and our university partners. So a lot happening here on campus right now.
Very good. As if all of that wasn't a stiff enough challenge, Gateway, like many other schools of higher learning, is really taking seriously some of the matters involved with justice and diversity and access and inclusion. And some of those issues and concerns have become of paramount interest here, of course, in the Kenosha community. Over the last few weeks. Tell us what Gateway's commitment to these issues is all about and the pathway forward from here.
Yeah, Greg, I'm glad you brought that up. There's not a day goes by, and maybe even not an hour goes by, that we don't think about what more we can do in our community to help everyone understand the pride and dignity and respect that we have for all citizens. And Gateway is a very diverse community. So our student population is very diverse. Our staffing is very diverse. And sometimes it's hard to draw the context to the average citizen because maybe we don't know. We see the Kenosha campus, but we don't always see the Racine campus, or we're on the Elkhorn campus. We don't know what's going on in Kenosha. And if you include our full and part-time staffing, it's 1,200 people. So we employ 1,200 people. We serve approximately 23,000 students at Gateway. So it's larger than many communities in the state. And that means there's a lot of diverse opinions, ideas, thoughts, and we try to rally around what we can do to help support and engage people in a healthy dialogue around that. And in Kenosha, it was elevated, of course, as everyone knows, to an extreme level that, you know, there's a lot that needs to be done with equality and making sure that we're engaged in those conversations. So I've joined the Dismantling Racism Task Force through Higher Expectations and striving together in Kenosha. It's a good effort to help us continue to have dialogue and conversation around what needs to happen in our community. The visible experience of going downtown or uptown Kenosha, you can see the emotions in all of the destruction that was taking place, but you can also see the other side, right? All of the art that's been developed and sort of the positive spirit around how can we re-engage as a community. So Gateway has been holding listening sessions for our staff, and we're going to also do that for our students to try to have healthy conversations around what are some of the challenges that maybe aren't always seen or heard, but people feel them personally. And so we can help unwind some of that. Maybe we can find better ways to strengthen all of our students and our staff and our community in general. To begin that, we opened up a new office, the Office of Diversity, Equity, Inclusion. And Dr. Tammy Summers is our new Vice President for Diversity, Equity, Inclusion. Tammy's leading a statewide effort in partnership with Morna Foy, the System Director, so we engage all technical colleges and find what are some of the big challenges that the system itself might be facing, and how can we begin to change practice or policy or create some best practices for other colleges around the state. So real proud of that, and I'll invite Tammy on one of our shows in the future here so that we can share with our community some of the additional efforts that are going on with our staffing.
Very good. I should just say that very recently I've had on your counterparts at both Parkside and Carthage, and those are two other schools that are also taking these matters and concerns very, very seriously. And it's nice to see not only cooperation and coordination between the three schools, not only in matters of, you know, credit transfers and some of those nuts and bolts, but also when it comes to some of the biggest issues and concerns of our times.
Yeah, that's so true. I think people do recognize the fact that we want students to be able to transition from Gateway's two-year programs into a four-year program if they choose at Parkside or Carthage, but there's so many other elements of our relationships that will continue to sustain. We're the number one transfer school to UW-Parkside as an example. So all those students are going to come with some experience and some expectation. If we can align those programs and services along with the general support that students need, I think we're going to be in a better shape.
Before we meet our guest, I know that you want to acknowledge an important moment when someone, in effect, spoke to Congress on behalf of Gateway Technical College and other schools like it. Tell our listeners who McKenna Glassman is.
I hope she's listening. I'm going to make sure that I send her the link so that she can hear me and give her another shout out. So McKenna is a senior at Union Grove High School. So during her junior year, so last year, McKenna took Gateway's dual enrollment program in welding and received a one-year technical diploma as a welding fabricator. So before she even started her senior year of high school, she had a college degree already. And now she's continuing at that, taking more courses again this year as a senior. But she was selected to speak on behalf of America's community colleges at a congressional caucus in Washington. Unfortunately, because of COVID, we weren't able to travel to Washington with her, because that would have been a cool thing for her to see some of the monuments and things that are in Washington. But she delivered it through a Zoom meeting, and it was remarkable. She highlighted her experience, talked so positively about her instructors, and I know everyone at Union Grove High School must be extremely proud of the work that McKenna has already done. And now I shared with her too, to know that her name is in the official archives of the U.S. Congress, that's pretty impressive. And to be able to have her as an advocate for Gateway and to continue to celebrate the role that we play in helping build positive career pathway experiences for young people. And what a great career path she's going to have, right? She'll have great technical skills and academic credentialing behind her already at a very young age. So congratulations, McKenna. Thanks for the great work you did, and really proud to be able to have you represent us in Washington.
Fantastic. Well, without further ado, it's time for you to introduce the very special guest that you have invited to the program today, someone who is proving to be a very good friend to Gateway Technical College.
Well, you know, I'm so fortunate, Greg, that we are able to do these programs, because I get to bring very special guests to the community and to highlight some of the unique relationships that we have. And Mary has been an extremely positive and proactive partner with us at Gateway in developing a new partnership with Rockwell Automation, which we'll talk in more detail about. But she is a champion. She understands the mission of Gateway Technical College, and she's been a visionary in helping us shape the curriculum structure and the delivery models that are necessary. And I just have to tell you that this was about 3 years ago. I was at a meeting where the CEO of Rockwell, Blake Morrell, was speaking about a partnership they had established to recruit veterans into a program. And I was in the audience, and it struck me that there are very common mission examples of what Gateway does and what Rockwell's doing, that I just needed to reach out and start asking lots of questions. How could we partner and share in this experience? Because we know the need is so great, not only in Milwaukee, but also in Kenosha, Racine, throughout all of Southeast Wisconsin, and as you'll hear, across the nation. And Mary has held up that flag and helped us better understand what role we can play to create greater points of service for, in this case, veterans, but I'll say all students going forward.
Very good. So it's great to welcome to our program. And I just realized in all our preliminary conversations, I didn't ask you how you pronounce your last name. Mary Burgoon?
It's correct. Burgoon.
Oh, all right. All right. Well, I wish I'd just been brave and said it that way. But Mary Burgoon, who is Business Development Manager at Rockwell Automation, we're so glad to have you on the program. Before we talk about Rockwell Automation itself, it would be good for us to hear a little bit about you, where you're from originally, and maybe something about your professional pathway that ultimately led you to Rockwell Automation.
Great. Thanks for the opportunity. And Brian, thank you for that very positive, glowing review. I'm much appreciated. As Greg and Brian mentioned, I'm Mary Burgoon. I have been with Rockwell about 15 years. In my current role, I'm business development manager, but I started my career in St. Louis. I am a diehard Cardinal fan. I'm from St. Louis. I went to the Missouri School of Science and Technology, and I'm a degreed mechanical engineer. I spent the first few years of my career at Emerson Electric. I was design engineer. I designed electric motors. And then I moved to Minneapolis, and I became a project engineer, an application engineer. I did project management. And then I had the good fortune to move to Wisconsin. Somehow I keep going north instead of south, which is my preference. But you know, in my current role, in my current company with Rockwell, I've done a variety of different things. I have done government affairs, I've done product safety, I've done standards and regulations, sales and marketing, and now I really have, I think, the best job in the whole company, which is the business development manager for this Academy of Advanced Manufacturing. And every chance I get, if somebody wants to talk about it, I say yes. So thank you for allowing me to talk a bit about this program.
Well, Mary, that's fantastic. I guess I did not know the St. Louis connection and the Cardinal fan in you. So that's good to know. But we're still rooting for our Brewers down here. I know some of our listeners in Kenosha root for the Cubs, but and that's all right, too. But go Brewers, right?
Go Brewers, right.
Yeah, I was impressed that you also worked for Emerson. So they've got a big presence in Racine, correct, in our area. And we have a great partnership with Emerson and our HVAC program and do a lot of robotics training. So that's a nice connection there. I have a quick question about Rockwell. Are you also following kind of the same guidelines that schools are in general? You're working from home, or how's it working there?
Yeah, so great question. We are doing, we're in phases right now where if you can work from home, you should work from home. They want to preserve. We do have operations that are running. Our test labs are running. We actually have two Academy of Advanced Manufacturing classes running in person. So they're trying to preserve and limit the number of people that bring in. But I went into the office a couple weeks ago, and it's a ghost town, right? Elevators are two per person. There are like crime scene tape against in the conference room. It's very unusual. But yes, there. If you can work from home, work from home. And we're hearing the last meeting we had, they said, well, when will people start coming back? And they said, it's not a date. It's when there's a vaccine readily available.
Oh, okay.
So it's very interesting. Now, different parts of the world, I think, may be coming into the office at different times based on the status of the pandemic in their region.
Boy, that's pretty amazing, because I worry about different parts of the county coming into campus at a time, but you're worried about different parts of the world coming into the building. I'm just different dynamics on a larger scale, similar protocol, though. Appreciate that.
Very similar.
Mm-hmm. So, tell us a little bit about whatever you think is important for our listeners to know about Rockwell Automation itself, its history, and its connection to the state of Wisconsin.
So Rockwell Automation, we were formed in 1903, which coincidentally, so is the Harley Museum, Harley-Davidson as well. It was a banner year in Milwaukee, 1903. And we started as a very small company, the Compression Rheostat Company. But since that time, we have grown and expanded from just our footprint on First Street to now that we have We're in over 100 countries. We have over 20,000 employees globally, and we have really evolved to be more of a technology company, to be innovators. No longer, we still make those parts that we started with, motor controls, over 100 plus years ago, but now we are in augmented reality, virtual reality, software, technology, really a lot of innovation that you see, talking about the factory of the future. That's what we're doing now. That's how we've evolved. We started with motor control and we still have a huge presence, but like the rest of the world, we have evolved to be a high-tech company.
You know, I remember, Mary, when I visited recently, the clock tower. Everybody recognizes the tower, right? That's where Rockwell is. But there's some really great things. You mentioned the Factory of the Future, the Innovation Center that's housed there. What kinds of activities actually take place in Milwaukee?
So overall in Wisconsin, we have probably close to 7,500 employees in Wisconsin. In Milwaukee at that clock tower, it is mainly testing, engineering, finance. It's our global headquarters. We do have a new manufacturing line there, which is very innovative, high tech, we use robots, it's robotic, we use AR, we use a lot of augmented reality, virtual reality. But also about 20 minutes north in Mequon, we have a manufacturing facility where we make our low voltage drives and motor control centers. We also have facilities in Ladysmith, Richland Center, and over in outside of Madison as well. So we have a big footprint in Wisconsin, but our global headquarters are in Milwaukee. And we also have a U.S. headquarters, which we do our automation and control and some of our software over in Cleveland as well.
That's great. And now at Gateway.
And now at Gateway. We have a partnership in Gateway as well. Exactly. We're very excited.
So that famous clock tower, I know at least once upon a time it was the largest four-face clock in the world. I don't know if you still have that distinction, but it's certainly one of the greatest and most beautiful such structures.
No longer. I think there's someone in the Middle East that has one maybe a little bit bigger than ours. But we're in North America anyway.
Absolutely. And it's a beautiful, beautiful, striking landmark for sure. Tell us about Rockwell Automation's commitment to education partnerships like the one with Gateway that we'll talk about in detail in just a moment. But first, just in general, what is Rockwell's commitment to education?
That's a great question, and thank you. And I think one of the shining stars is our partnership and collaboration with Gateway. We partner in a variety of different ways. We call it sort of our K to gray model, right? We're looking at partnering to build manufacturing leaders of the future. We're also looking at preparing students for our own employee, right? Not only do we're preparing them, helping them to be fluent in technology, because we might not identify and recruit some of these people ourselves. We also invest quite heavily in our communities, we recognize that not everyone is going to come to work at Rockwell Automation, but everyone needs to have an opportunity to be exposed to STEM and also become, everything in the world today is digital. So how do we help them take those skills that maybe they develop at home, playing video games or so on, and deploy them in an opportunity to gain a successful livelihood. And then another way that we partner is through research and development, like with our Connected Systems Institute that Gateway is part of at UWM as well. So we do a variety of different things. One, to advance research, one to continue upskilling and identifying how do we help our community become more digitally fluent so that they can have an occupation and a job that is well paying, and recruiting future workers for ourselves and our customers.
Yeah. I might just add, this would be a good time too, just to acknowledge another colleague, Michael Cook, who has been a really, really important member of our team in developing the AAM partnership. He heads up the university and college partnerships for Rockwell. And so Gateway has always had a relationship with Rockwell, but not a program relationship. So it was, where do we get a discount? We have a lot of controllers in our labs. Those are all important. We need that sort of connection. There have been some curriculum and certificate-based programs that colleges and universities could access in the past. But now we're talking about how do we sustain an engaged process for recruitment, talent development, placement of students, and content development expertise, and all of those new relationships that are coming out as a result of the AAM program.
For For those of you just joining us, today is the monthly visit of Brian Albrecht, the president of Gateway Technical College, and with us today, our special guest, Mary Burgoon, who is business development manager for Rockwell Automation. And right now we're talking about a very exciting new collaboration or partnership between Gateway and Rockwell, a program called AAM. Mary Burgoon, tell us more about this program, what AAM stands for, and also what the catalyst was in getting this program created in the first place. What kind of need is it designed to address?
So thank you for the opportunity, Greg. AAM is an acronym for the Academy of Advanced Manufacturing. And that is a unique program that Rockwell and our partner, Manpower Group, started talking about in 2017. I know Brian mentioned earlier about sitting in a meeting with our CEOs. And really the catalyst of this is that there is a shortage of skilled workers. We see every day, and we hear from our customers, employers, manufacturers, every day that there are not enough workers, and they're having a hard time meeting the demands of consumers. I heard the other day that a car manufacturer has a hard time shipping cars to the lots of their dealers because they don't have enough workers. And so with the demographics of the world today, people are retiring much more quickly than the population can be replaced. And candidly, when people leave school, they often, you know, think of manufacturing as not a desirable place to go. They all want to be the next game designer, you know, Grand Theft Auto or something like that. So we have a couple different hurdles to overcome. One, I think, is what we're demonstrating with our collaboration with Gateway is really defining manufacturing as a high-tech industry. So all of those skills that they think that they'll never get to use, they do get a chance to deploy. And that really was the catalyst. We were seeing a lot of our employees trying to be poached from our manufacturer, from our customers, because the hardest skills to find are these around control, automation, robotics, and there's a vast shortage of them. And so that really was the catalyst of designing this program. Right now, the program's being held at Rockwell Automation and in Cleveland and Milwaukee, but with this exciting new program that we have, this partnership, we're also getting a chance to partner with Gateway to be able to deliver this program at Gateway.
And Greg, you can see how this would fit, you know, hand in glove with the development at the SC Johnson IMET Center, Integrated Manufacturing, and you've seen that it focuses on advanced manufacturing and the idea of mechatronics or control systems, and this is really just a great fit for the delivery of the program, but more importantly, for the types of employers that we have in Southeast Wisconsin. I mean, Rockwell founded in 1903, and you could go through a whole laundry list, right? Twin Disc, Modine, Snap-on Tools, SC Johnson, okay. Gateway. We're all a little over 100 years old now. And now we're moved from a traditional manufacturing environment to an automated controls environment. And so we needed to stay current, and Mary and her team and the team at Rockwell is keeping us current with the types of technology that's necessary for a manufacturing career.
So this is partly to address a fairly serious skills shortage. Mary, how would you characterize the nature of that skills shortage? I mean, how serious is that? What is kind of the evidence of it? I think you've already touched on a couple of ways in which even you yourselves have sort of felt the impact of that shortage. And how has this changed during this time of COVID-19? Has this lessened it or worsened it? I mean, just tell us more about kind of the dimensions, the seriousness of this particular skills shortage.
Well, thanks for the opportunity. You know, COVID brought about a very unique that we all found. We did see a lot of employers that still have that need to hire people, and some industries continue to hire. And I'm thinking of those pandemic-proof industries, food and beverage, paper products. When was the last time you saw Clorox wipes in your Target or your grocery store, right? Or in paper towels and toilet paper, there's a shortage. Some industries, of course, had slowed down quite a bit, so they had hiring freezes. Again, you know, there is still a need. People are still retiring. There is that need to fill those spots with high technology, highly skilled workers. The pandemic may have slowed hiring in certain industries, but I can tell you it has accelerated hiring in other industries because there is such a demand. People are staying home, they're cooking more. So the grocery stores, you're seeing their shortages. And we're seeing that with a lot of our employers, our customers in the food space. Also life sciences, for example, pharma, they are, you know, they really are going all out to find a vaccine. So they're going to need a lot of skilled workers that know how to use this high tech equipment and run it safely. And so that's where the program comes in. The other thing that is really interesting is that this could be an opportunity for us to reskill some of those workers that maybe were in an industry that was that they thought was recession proof, but it could be an opportunity for them to rethink their career and explore an opportunity. The Academy of Advanced Manufacturing in Milwaukee at Rockwell is focused on veterans. But I think as we move forward and think about how do we also touch those people in the community that might have the skill set to redeploy those skills to go into manufacturing and redeploy and transfer those skills to support manufacturing.
Mary, so you've connected a few thoughts in my head here on this. I just want to kind of dig a little bit deeper. So you're right. There are populations within our community like veterans or maybe now dislocated workers that correct. Could use these upskills, and AAM will certainly do that. In fact, we've seen evidence of that. Gateway's program opened up a little over a week ago, and we already have a request from a local employer. When will they graduate? So the word is out. They want individuals with these skills. But I think many people in their mind would say, if you said Rockwell Automation, they would think, okay, industrial manufacturing. But you mentioned food processing and pharmaceuticals, and that what you're doing is you're creating a talent pipeline of skill sets for many industry sectors.
Correct. That's correct, Brian. So automation, and Rockwell Automation has the largest market share footprint in North America. We are in every manufacturing facility, small, medium, or large. Our clients are global. That's why we're a global company. And so we automate and make those operations run efficiently, run safely, run sustainably. And that's why people use automation and control. Automation is not taking away people's jobs. In fact, automation is helping make those jobs safer and more sustainable. The reason people move to automation is because there aren't enough people that want to go into manufacturing. They still have to produce cars and toilet paper and food. And so automation is a way for manufacturers to be able to meet those market needs.
Yeah. And I remember visiting your Mequon plant, and some of our staff went as well. And when mm-hmm. people have a visual of what the skill sets are, it changes the direction of their thought process. So a lot of what's happening in your work is around this digital space, the digital technician, what you say as far as the data collection and data science and the analytics behind manufacturing. And I think all of those new elements can help inspire the next generation of individuals that are interested in manufacturing.
That's right, Brian. That's absolutely right.
Take us inside the nuts and bolts of this partnership, how it works between Rockwell and Gateway, and how does it exactly address this need for more people to have wider and richer technical skills?
So great. So our program and our partnership with Gateway, the reason that Gateway is such an ideal partnership is they have an advanced manufacturing, I believe that's what it's called. They have an associate's degree, a two-year degree. And so they have a strong skill set and a reputation in the community. What the Academy of Advanced Manufacturing is, it is an accelerated program. It is 12 to 16 weeks. And we're not looking to replace that because organizations need a pipeline of workers and the work that Brian and Gateway are doing with preparing high school students and then others. But the partnership is really around taking the Rockwell curriculum and the Rockwell and adapting it to be delivered at Gateway Tech. Taking that program that we've successfully delivered at Rockwell and then adapting it to be delivered at Gateway. It is a 16-week accelerated program. You know, their program, they're going to come out, they're going to have these skills that they wouldn't have gotten perhaps if they had gone to another organization. But again, we're not saying that is a replacing the work that Gateway is doing, we're complementing it. It is a solution for now to support employers, and then it's also working with Gateway to build that pipeline for future as well.
I would agree, Mary. It's enhancing what we currently offer and making what we offer better. So we're able to now take a global curriculum with that standard base and not only deliver it in the 12 to 16 week, I'll call it a boot camp because that's what our community is fairly familiar with, but those skill sets that our faculty are now learning and the competencies that students are earning, that kind of transitions into other spaces, right? Those students are all together. They're in the same buildings. They're watching each other. And they want the brand recognition of a global company like Rockwell. So if we're able to put that seal of approval on and maintain that level of standard, then our customers, which would be the employers in this area, have another level of confidence in the service that we're providing and the types of skills that our students are graduating with. I would just add one last thought to that, so we talk a lot in our partnerships about curriculum development, but in this case, it goes way beyond that. It's the recruitment, the marketing, the brand imaging, the job placement, the employer collaboration with supporting employers. And so all of those elements needed to be put in place. I can't remember, Mary, we had like five or six committees, I think, maybe more working on this.
Yes. We had multiple work streams. You brought your best and brightest. We had our best and brightest to make sure that this was going to be successful. And the other thing that I think Gateway brings to the table is the support to help them be successful. It's not just, hey, here's your training. You're also helping them be successful employees as well, those professional skills, communication skills, and all those things that make a successful, empowered employee at manufacturing.
Yeah, I was also very proud of the fact that while this started out as a focus on veterans, that's still a core element to our work here, and Gateway has a proud history of supporting veterans and being a military-friendly school for many years, and our staff and our team that does the recruitment of our veterans in our area, they just deserve a big pat on the back for not only their particular service that they gave when they were in the service, but now the work they do to reach out and bring others back into the community.
Fantastic. Mary Burgoon, where do you see this partnership going from here? Are there particular goals in place that you're hoping to achieve and any ways in which you see this perhaps growing and or expanding?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think, this is our first pilot. This is our first class that we're doing outside of Rockwell Automation. So no pressure, Brian, but we're very excited that we have such a strong partner. And I think our goal is to think about how do we, our goal is to train 1,000 annually. So how do we do that? We'll not be able to do it in the four walls of Rockwell. So where are those other strong schools, like a Gateway Tech and other regions, close to veterans, close to employers, close to people that need to be upskilled perhaps. But taking that model, that partnership that we'll continue to have for many years with Gateway, and how do we launch that and scale that in other parts of the U.S. as well?
Yeah, and I'm really excited about that aspect because Gateway has been involved for many years in different organizations that have a very similar focus. I can name off the National Coalition of Advanced Technology Centers, NCATC, and Rockwell's also been a partner and spoke at those events. And once we get back to a more normal conferencing environment, we're going to highlight this program. Or the National Coalition for Certification Centers, in which we issue credentialing beyond it. So there are organizational structures, the SACA advanced certifications, the MSSC certifications. There's networks out there that would just, this would be right in their sweet spot to say, how do we now begin to elevate the skill training for workers in this sector?
For those of you just joining us, this is Brian Albrecht's monthly visit to the morning show. He is, of course, the president of Gateway Technical College. And with us as well is Mary Burgoon, who is business development manager for Rockwell Automation. And she is one of the people who has hands-on involvement in a exciting new partnership between Rockwell Automation and Gateway Technical College. Mary Burgoon, one of the things we've already touched on is that when one walks into a modern manufacturing plant now, it is nothing like you would have seen 30, 40, 50 years ago. It's a completely different environment. And of course, the skills required for at least a lot of the workers there are very, very different than they once were. How do you see that different reality, that new reality, folding into the obvious need to get young people interested in thinking about manufacturing as a potential professional path for them, particularly if some of them may have kind of outmoded ideas about what it means to work in a factory?
Well, that's a challenge. I think every manufacturer has the same challenge that we face. Anybody that makes anything in manufacturing has a challenge to overcome. And so we're all in it collectively. And I know that the National Association of Manufacturers has a campaign to go out and share that information. I think a lot of, if you think about smart manufacturing or factories of the future, they're going to need smart workers. And those smart workers are going to have to come with the skills that maybe their parents or grandparents did not have. Fluency with digital technologies, able to understand data and apply it and make decisions, critical thinking. And a lot of people going in school today, even in grade school, have a lot of digital fluency already. They're not afraid of, you know, looking at data. They're not afraid of digital tools and so on. And I think it's just a natural progression to help them understand that they can take those skills and apply them in an environment that is safe, that is clean, and that really is focused on sustainability, right? Making the world a cleaner, safer, more efficient place. And I think we're all incumbent on helping to overcome that thought. But I'm encouraged and excited about the generation of workers that are entering them. I think it's just likely a marketing campaign, helping them to see what does it really look like in manufacturing now, right? Putting those videos out there, helping them see, and that's what's going to convert. But I'm encouraged with all the technical skills that are out there today.
Yeah, absolutely. And I see that happening. I mean, just one small example, the AAM program now at Gateway with the Rockwell brand and that lab, having that identity for it, which is helping teachers as they come in, K-12 teachers come into our facilities and they see that identity and they start thinking differently. We provide professional development. Students like McKenna, we talked about earlier. I bet, Mary, you'd be like, if I could get a talent pipeline of juniors in high school that are already committing to this profession, that's the group we're looking for. We have a dual enrollment academy for Industry 4.0. Those students will all graduate from high school with an Industry 4.0 automation certificate, move right into a 12 or 14 or 16 week training program and be a production technician at an advanced level with Rockwell's brand on. You're hitting the nail on the head. We're going to build that talent pipeline by creating that awareness and opportunity.
Mary Burgoon, what does all of this have to do with STEM and STEM education? And what kind of role does Rockwell Automation play in fostering more and more interest in STEM fields and STEM education?
So that's a great question. I mean, as STEM, our whole company is based on all of the employees are in some way a STEM worker. Every worker in the future is going to be, and today as well, is a digital worker. So how do we reach out, and STEM is science, technology, engineering, and math. Most employees at Rockwell are in those fields. And if they've come in somehow with a business degree or something, they become fluent in STEM because we all are digital workers. So Rockwell is really committed to really focusing on those communities that may be underserved. How do we get more women and people from underserved communities into the STEM field? Because that is the workforce of the future. That's providing a workforce development that maybe they weren't exposed to it in the past. So our mission around STEM is focusing on those communities like veterans, like women, and like underserved communities and populations that may not have thought about working in a high-tech industry, and how do we help them build their skills and have a sustainable career and a life-changing career?
You know, and that's so important. I mean, it starts really early as well. We have the Kids Lab initiative starting at as early as kindergarten all the way through elementary school, and then middle school level activities. And now with kind of the working at and learning at home model, we're developing some online STEM activities for parents to work with their kids about. But it's a constant awareness and a conversation. Like, this radio show is going to be a great tool for parents and teachers to use to help young people think differently about their career path. You're very successful in Rockwell Automation, and I would love to have more young women hear your story, right? Because then they have a vision for themselves and where they can take their career. And to all of those messages, those points of contact, make an impression on people.
By the way, Mary Burgoon, how long has this partnership been in the process of development? I mean, what were the first overtures between Gateway and Rockwell, and how long has it taken to kind of hammer out this very promising and exciting partnership?
I think Brian mentioned 2017. He sat in an audience and heard about it, and it sparked the interest. We really had to operationalize it at Rockwell Automation to make sure that we could successfully deploy the program internally before we decided to look at expanding. But there is such a demand, and that's why we're looking at expanding. So I would say mid 2019, there was always sort of a conversation, a tactical conversation, and now we put these strategic conversations in maybe last 2019 in the spring. The hard work began in late summer. And then we really worked, as Brian mentioned, we had 5 or 6 work streams with teams on both sides working on it. We wanted it to be successful, so we put our best and brightest on it. So I would say maybe over a year, Brian, at least, where we've been working on it, but the seed was planted several years ago.
Yeah, I would agree, Mary. It's like there's this courting period, right? You've got to get to know each other. We did the tours of each other, and, you know, who's the right person at the table, bringing new people in. Yep. And then just the overall awareness, you know, what does Gateway have to offer? What do we do? Because it's not, you know, right next door to Rockwell, even though it's in the next community over, right? So we had to kind of build that understanding. And then, of course, totally understanding at Gateway side, Rockwell's a global company. You don't just go in and say, let's start something new and use our name all over, right? You got to really make sure everything's in place as far as protocol and levels of responsibility and levels of engagement. And the outcomes, we all have the same expectation, right? We want students to graduate with the same experience, the highest standard possible. So let's figure out the faculty development, making sure that credential has meaning, whether it's in, you know, Wisconsin, you know, Cleveland, Florida, wherever people are trained, that they're going to get a similar experience. So it takes a little time to build it out. But the good part was, or the easy lift was, the AAM program had already existed and was and is a very successful training program. The challenge was, how do we build it into more of a public environment and kind of make sure that we have accessible points for all students to participate, targeting certain populations, and what's the outreach to our network of veterans? And then how do we make sure that at the end that the employers that are seeking these graduates can find them, right? So what's the deployment network for that?
Right. And I'm very excited. We just graduated a class. We have now 183 graduates since 2017. And the future is very bright, you know, with our partnership with Gateway. We have 2 classes running now, and, you know, COVID did knocked a little wind out of our sails. But next year we're planning on running 6 classes at Rockwell, and with the collaboration with Brian at Gateway and the classes we'll have there, I'm very excited to support our manufacturers, to support the community, and to support the students.
Well, it sounds like this is off to a spectacular and also very promising start, and it's been great to have this opportunity to kind of learn more about it, and we hope that anybody listening whose interest is piqued will seek out more information. Mary Burgoon, what would be the best way for someone who is intrigued by anything we've been talking about to get more information?
They can go to our website at Rockwell Automation. They can also email me at mkburgoon@ra.rockwell.com. I think also there's probably a link. There's probably some information, an email address that it would be aam@ra.rockwell.com as well.
Very good. And President Albrecht, if someone wanted to seek out information through Gateway's website, would that be available, do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. Just gtc.edu. It's on our homepage. Or contact specifically the program area, Ray Kukari at the college, and Ray can help get the alignment right away. So happy to help anyone that's interested.
Wonderful. Mary Burgoon is Business Development Manager for Rockwell Automation. Mary, it was great to make your acquaintance today, and thank you so much for joining us to tell this exciting story and for telling it so well.
Thank you.
And Brian Albrecht, the president of Gateway Technical College, always a pleasure to speak with you, sir.
Thank you, my friend. Thanks, Greg.
I'm Gregory Berg. Tomorrow on The Morning Show, we're going to be hearing from author Cozy Ellis about his book called A Bone to Pick, which explores the power of forgiveness. Also tomorrow, Ray Stewart Clark, who is a renowned photographer in Great Britain and a lover of the sport of soccer, And in his beautiful new book called The Game, he celebrates the beauty of the game of soccer, and in particular, the way in which soccer is an incredibly important part of life and culture in Great Britain. By the way, on Monday's morning show, Nick Daly from Kenosha, now the first place winner of Playbill Magazine's Search for a Star contest. Support for the morning show comes from Carthage College, home of the Aspire program and its multifaceted approach to career preparation. The new program is designed to cultivate leadership and entrepreneurial skills while empowering each Carthage student to shape a custom career development plan from their first days on campus. Learn more about the Aspire program at carthage.edu/aspire. We're approaching 9 o'clock.